Well, I know that Kylene lost her mother this week, so I know this is a kind of a sad time for her, but this is a place of encouragement. So Kylene, we're praying for you and your family. Grandmothers and mothers. One of life's greatest blessings is to have a godly mother. And one of the greatest gifts you can give your children is to be a godly mother. In my studying for this week's message, I read a quote from Theodore Roosevelt, the president. I thought it quite unusual. He said, "When all is said and done, the mother is a better citizen than the soldier who fights for his country." Now, you might have to think about that a little bit. Pretty deep. C.H. Spurgeon said, "Never could it be possible for any man or woman to estimate what he or she owes to a godly mother." It's evident what has happened in our country. The feminist movement has caused the status of motherhood to decline. In 1950, 12% of preschool mothers worked outside the home. By 1985, over 50% of moms worked outside of the home. In 1976, 31% of young mothers were back on the job before their newborns had their first birthday. Now, I know that there are legitimate causes and economic causes and hardships where mothers working outside the home is necessary. For instance, with single moms. But the truth is, and I probably won't be the most popular pastor today, but the truth is, many could make it on the husband's job, but mom works so they can have a better lifestyle. Not biblical, but that's what's happened in our country. The truth is that most kids would vote for and a mom at home. As I prepared the message the last few days, I thought about Marion, who was my best childhood friend. He and I were about 7 and 8 years old. My mom and dad, we had a great home, and Marion loved to be there. He lived on 8 Mile in an apartment building. Neither his mother nor his father were ever home. And he would stay at our house and stay until my own mother had to say, "Marion, it's time to go home. You have to go home now." What precious memories. That many of us in here have of our grandmothers. How many grandmoms do we have here? Anyone? Oh, a whole slew of you. Grandmoms and granddads. I have such great memories of my grandmother. Oh, they were not perfect. I'm going to let you in on some of their imperfections. I remember well how my mother and my dad's mother, my grandmother, didn't like each other at all. But in spite of that, in fact, on Mother's Day, or my parents' 50th wedding anniversary, my grandmother was there. Her name was, we called her Tutty. And I think she said this to Miss Pam: "The day that Jean and Mona got married was the worst day of my life." And she was dressed in black. But in spite of that fact, Grandma Tutty taught me so much about life and the Bible. On those hot nights out in the yard swing, where she showed me the Little Dipper and the Big Dipper, and we talked about God and Christ and life in general. During the days on the pond bank when we fished for bluegill and catfish, those were great educational days, great times of spiritual fellowship, and lifelong lessons that I remember at 73 years of age. When I stayed at my grandmother's house in Carlisle County, Kentucky, sometimes I would stay the entire summer. We would make three trips a week in that old black 54 Plymouth to Zohar Baptist Church. Those were precious times as well, where I heard the gospel three times a week. I can still smell that beech nut gum Tutty would pull out of her purse and hand a piece to each of us kids in the back seat. It was on Sunday evenings I learned that prayer and death are real experiences, because on Sunday evenings before church service, we had prayer meetings. The men and the boys would go out to the cemetery, which was beside the church, to have prayer meeting, gathering at Ollie Clark's tombstone. There we sought the face of God. My grandfather, who was a grumpy old man, when he prayed, seemed so tender to this young boy, so different. Then there was my mother's I'll get there just get there. There was my mother's mother, she was a Methodist. That in itself was a huge problem. Because the Clarks were all Baptists. It was confusing to me that Mom and Dad were both converted at Palestine Methodist Church. And yet, some of life's greatest wars in our family was over the Methodists and the Baptists. I remember Mom and Dad sending me to Vacation Bible School. We lived in Lowe's, Kentucky. My dad built the house. It was a little two-bedroom house, no running water, no bathroom. Bathroom was out back. The outhouse, we called it then. But I remember Mom and Dad, I was four and a half, really close to 5 years old. It was before we moved to Michigan. My mom and dad had a great discussion, kind of troubling, I remember. Mom wanted to send me to the Methodist Church in Lowe's to Vacation Bible School. Dad had to be brought along. He was a Baptist. It was there I first heard the gospel in Vacation Bible School. 4.5 years old, I remember it like it was yesterday. The pastor of the church held up this beautiful cup. It was so shiny and clean. And then he read the scripture where Jesus gave the illustration that the outside of the cup may look very, very clean, but the inside, and he turned the cup over, and unbeknownst to all of us kids, he had put mud and black stuff inside the cup. It was absolutely filthy. And I remember him saying, this is what we are. We're sinners on the inside and have to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I remember that very well. And all I'm saying to you in talking about my own life experiences is how important moms and grandmothers are. My nanny was the sweetest, godliest, kindest, encouraging, tenderest woman I have ever met or known. I always wanted to be like her. She was as much a mother to me as my birth mother. Grandmothers, grandfathers, how important you are to your grandkids. After my grandfather's death, my nanny lived with us until her death. She, by God's grace, was used to form me to be who I am today. I was telling Miss Pam this morning, I am to a great degree what my nanny was. My mother was born into a Methodist home. My nanny was 45 years old when my mother was born. My mother was a redheaded, spoiled only child. Mom and Dad married as soon as they turned 16. Can you imagine that? Lord have mercy. They had just finished the 8th grade. They thought they knew everything. My dad soon learned what it meant to be married to a redheaded Methodist. Dad declared himself to be called to preach. And by the way, he said he was called to preach down at Palestine Methodist Church. What is God doing down at Palestine Methodist Church? He's supposed to be over at Zohar Baptist Church. So Dad had a Methodist wife, and it was on. Mom later saw the importance of being immersed in water, and that was the big difference back then. The Methodists sprinkled, the Baptists immersed. We immerse here too as well, not because we're Baptists, but because immersion pictures the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and that I've become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Mom was a faithful, supportive pastor's wife and mother. She never worked outside the home, always there when I came home from school, always had clean clothes, clean house, and 3 meals a day. She loved her children. She could so move me. Early on, Miss Pam learned that I don't want her to cry. I saw my mother cry a couple times. She always moved me when she cried. I always felt so stirred. I remember not making honor roll one year, and I came home and entered right into the kitchen, and there she was crying. I thought something was really bad wrong. She said, I'm so disappointed in you. Your grades are down. Never happened again. I'm talking about my grades being down. Never happened again. And there was one reason. Mother cried. So to grandmothers and mothers, your children and grandchildren will be you wrapped up in different flesh. You have such an, let me say this to moms and grandmothers, you have such an awesome role to play. Such an awesome role. And the scriptures directly put the responsibility on you as being the instrumental savior of your own children. You, Mom, have the responsibility of loving, caring, taking care of your children, and teaching them the scriptures. I tried to find Timothy's dad. Where was he? There is no mention here in 1 Timothy of Timothy's dad. And I thought, perfect. As an example to all of you women who did not marry believers, or maybe the man that you did marry left you, and you are left with your children. What an encouragement. What an effect you can have. Actually, Timothy's father was a Greek. He probably was not a believer. I don't know what happened to Timothy's mom, whether she got out in the world and got pregnant and gave birth to Timothy. I don't know what happened, but I do know this, that Timothy's mother and grandmother, through their raising Timothy and teaching him the scripture, thousands came to know the Lord Jesus Christ in personal faith. I want to encourage all you mothers and grandmothers today. Your life may have messed up as far as your marriage. I don't know what's happened into your life, but I do know this. God's not through with you. God has a job for you. I remember, yes. The scripture is very clear that believers are not to marry unbelievers. I can guarantee you, you'll have problems. If you marry an unbeliever, you're going to have problems. How can two walk together except they be agreed? It's hard enough to marry a believer, right, Ms. Pam? I mean, it's hard enough. Listen to me carefully now. I know that you know. Around here, we preach salvation is by grace alone. Timothy's faith came to him through his grandmother and mother, godly influence, and instructing him in the scriptures. And you want to be a good mom? Get the Bible out. Read the scripture that says all have sinned, and that means you, my precious little boy, my precious little girl. You are a sinner by nature, by choice, and by practice. And this Bible says, and I'll show you from this Bible, that God has come to the rescue of men and women who see themselves as sinners. You know where our emphasis is placed today? It's on getting the best education. Nothing wrong with a great education. But if you don't know God, if you're without Jesus Christ in the world, you're a very confused person, because you don't understand so many things that are happening inside. You don't understand your own sinfulness, your own mess up. How glorious it is for moms and dads to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I don't know what prompted this, but down at Tiger Stadium yesterday, I heard Joe say something to Jack, his son. Something like this. I don't know what prompted this, but I was just standing there. He said, "Do you know you're a sinner?" And Jack goes, "Yes." And Joe goes, "Are you trusting Jesus Christ?" And he said, "Yes." And that was it. I thought, what a great conversation. What a great conversation. The Bible says this, that Eunice and Lois taught Timothy the scriptures. You know what I'm always telling you. This is a hymn book spelled H-I-M. If Lois and Eunice were teaching him the scriptures, they were going over to the book of Exodus and saying, now, the Passover lamb is Jesus Christ. The white turtle dove that's dipped in the blood of one turtle dove that died and thrown up into the air with the blood of the other turtle dove is how God sets us through Jesus Christ apart from our sins and forgives us. Right? Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Make sure that when you're teaching your children the scripture, you're pointing out that they are sinners, because you were a sinner. They are sinners. And they need a Savior. I know it's simple. I know I hammer that. But the truth is that religion can be filled with hypocrisy and is filled with hypocrisy. In fact, I think it's quite interesting here. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Unfeigned means without hypocrisy. That's what I saw in Monani. Teddy. I love Teddy, but I saw some hypocrisy. You know, most people you can see hypocrisy in if you look real close. If you watch us real close, you'll see something. One of the things that's so thrilling and exciting was that about Monani's witness to me was she was real. She had a real relationship with God. I told Miss Pam this morning, you know, I never saw hypocrisy in her. Never. I cannot remember one time seeing hypocrisy in her. I'm sure it was there. I don't mean she was perfect. But the way she lived, the way she talked, the way she treated me and the rest of the grandchildren, her kindness, her tenderness, her loving care for us was so real. And her faith in Jesus Christ. You know, when I was converted as an 8-year-old boy, I was converted in the basement. My dad was talking to me. I ran up 3 flights of stairs to where Monani was, threw my arms around her, said, I just got converted. She said, well, bless your heart. That was her exact words. Well, bless your heart. Unfeigned faith. I was reading about the hypocrisy of religion. You know, you can be anybody can be a religionist. Go to church, go to mass, go wherever you go, do the religious thing, and just filled with hypocrisy. You don't know your sinnership. You don't have a desperate love and need for Jesus Christ and a knowledge that His blood cleanses you, and there's a shout in your heart about what He's done for you in Christ. I read this week about a pastor who went to one of his church members, a pastor and his wife went to one of his church members' homes, and the woman of the house had one of those magnet refrigerator notes on the refrigerator, and it said, "Dust the Bible, pastor and wife is coming for dinner." That's called hypocrisy. I read about another guy, a pastor who went to the home of one of his members. And he said, the pastor said, "I like the way you're living." And the man said, "Oh, pastor, if you really want to know the way we're living, you must come when you are not here." I want to ask you, moms and grandmoms, is it real? Is He real to you? Have you been converted? Then live your life in such a way that those children see your love, your gentleness, your tenderness. They know you're a sinner that has been saved by grace, and you're teaching those children. Let me tell you, how many of you have a 4-year-old or 5-year-old in your home? I'm telling you, I have clear memories, 4.5 and 5 years old, of my grandmother teaching me the gospel. Clear, vivid memories. Don't think that your child, and by the way, children see right through your hypocrisy. Kids know what we are. They see right through us. You can be all churchy, but kids will see right through you. Let them see this, that you have been and are a sinner saved by the grace of God, and that you want to do what the Scripture says as a parent, to raise them and to bring them to Jesus Christ. I know this has been a little unusual today, to be in God's house, but what a blessing it has been to me. I relived my entire life this week in thinking about my mother and my grandmother. I really haven't thought a whole lot about the Methodist Baptist thing. I relived all of that. I can remember very well. And by the way, husbands and wives, watch what you say in front of your children, how you treat one another. I can remember my mother being angry at my dad. And she was driving an old 49 Chevrolet on a gravel road, and I was the only one in the car. She must have been doing 100 miles an hour. And she was talking to my dad like this. But my dad wasn't in the car. It's important. You know, I can remember, this was probably 20 years ago, we had a young lady with a baby. She had no idea how to be a mother. One of the things that is so very, very important to me is that our women learn how to be good moms. It's important. Don't take this wrong now. You got to take this the way I'm saying it. Daycares are great, but they don't take the place of moms. They don't. Daycare can't do for your children what you can do. Miss Tracy and our staff at our daycare are wonderful to our children. And I see our children growing, and we're teaching them the Scriptures and to know Christ. But mom, nobody can take your place. How important you are, and you grandmothers, how important you are. You know, in the Scriptures and in the Bible, there is a place, and older women are to teach the younger women. So you older mothers and wives, you're to teach your daughters. Somebody ought to say amen. That's what Jesus said. That's what the Scripture says. And I know we all fail in the rearing of children to some degree. But this happened probably 20 years ago. I was passing through the women's area over at 35, and there was a young mother there with a bottle. Miss Pam remembers this. And I don't know, the baby was maybe 2 weeks old. But the milk in the bottle was so clabbered. And the baby had not had nourishment. And that young mother, who had no idea how to feed that child, was squeezing on the bottle, forcing that clabbered milk down that baby's throat. Finally went into the hospital. You remember that? Went into the hospital and had to spend a week nearly there getting that child back to health. Let me tell you, that's why we're in downtown Pontiac. That's why we work with people who've lost their way to addiction. And I can't tell you how important from homelessness to home ownership is in a very spiritual way. How important it is to have mom and dad. The state good parents do not make. They do not make a good parent. God has ordained marriage between a man and a woman, and for them to come to know Christ and raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I get so confused sometime at 73 about life. You know, I had such preconceived ideas about how wonderful it was and how off base I was about so many things. And now I know for certain. It's absolutely by the grace of God and through the substitutionary person and work of Jesus Christ that we go to heaven. We're all messed up. We're all mixed up. We all have problems. There's not a perfect family in here. There's not a perfect husband in here. There's not a perfect dad or mom in this place. But God has written a book. And I guarantee you, life can be a lot better if you read and go by it. This manual is a good manual. What if God would call your son to preach the gospel? You know, I say this to our guys all the time. Wouldn't it be awesome if God began to call young men who have been in the program, who've come to know Christ, to preach the gospel? And you ladies, to be good moms. To stop the shacking. And to see the importance of God's way and doing it God's way. It's really no surprise to me that the United States of America is in such a mess. No surprise to me at all. You look at the deterioration of the family and how we drifted from doing it God's way and how relationships got all messed up and confused. And Junior thinks the most important thing in his life is being economically successful and going to college. It's not the most important thing. In fact, we pay professors to twist the minds of our kids that God is not real and that there is not a creator. And they drift. Designer jeans and clothing cannot take the place of a great mom and great dad and great family and great grandparents. All right. Let's stand together. We'll praise our God.